Praise God. You sound mighty good praising God. This is the day that the Lord has made. And somewhere it said, let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you have nothing else to be glad about, you should be glad that God blessed you to see this day. There's a whole lot of people that wanted to be here today that because of the stiffness in their limbs and I don't want to say non-regulation of their mind, but because they just didn't have the presence to come, they couldn't come. God has been good, and I'm just so thankful and I'm uplifted just to see you today. I don't know about you. You know, Job was right when he said, man is born of woman is a few days, and those few days are full of trouble. I had one of them challenging weeks last week, and I was so glad when the end of the week came. And and that's why David said, I was glad when they said, let us come unto the house of the Lord, because the house of the Lord is a place of refuge. It's a place of refinement, a place of replenishment to spur us on to love and to good works. I don't know about you. I come for selfish purposes. I'm going to bring something with me. It's almost like coming to somebody's house for dinner. And you know how we are. I like to bring something, because when I get there, I'm going to throw down. Amen. I might just bring 1 2-liter bottle of 7-Up, but I'm going to eat something up while I'm there. So, yeah. So I hope you brought something today. Right. Amen. You brought yourself, but the Bible says that we are to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Amen. You don't have to have an official title on the roll to provoke someone to love and good works. Am I right about it? Yeah, so that's all of our jobs, to provoke one another unto love and good works. Let's be in prayer for Brother Smith. Thank God he made it safely down to Mouse Point, Mississippi. And church, I must commend you because you've been so gracious in giving. As they're celebrating the Lord's Day this morning, and this afternoon, Brother Smith is preaching at the 50th anniversary of one of the ministers that's been serving them in that area for 50 years. And they asked Brother Smith to be the keynote speaker. Pray that God will give him the sustaining grace that he needs to edify and encourage the church, as well as the man of God who's been serving there some 50 years at Mouse Point. We want you to be in prayer and to encourage Sister Gwen Jones. And Sister Crystal Norwood. Gwen's mother passed on yesterday, and so she needs your prayers, and she needs your encouragement. And Sister Crystal Norwood, that was her grandmother. Their family needs your encouragement. And Sister Smith is over there now, trying to offer some consolation and comfort to Gwen at this time. And so we need to partner as the family of God to call and to see what we can do to offer comfort and encouragement to Sister Gwen Jones and Crystal at this time in the passing of Miss Lucy Overton. Now, I don't know. Let's pray for Roberta Owens. You know, Roberta lost her brother, and he was funeralized in Ohio this weekend. Pray for the Owenses for traveling grace. I know they'll be traveling back this way. They made it to Ohio safely. I haven't had a chance to talk with them, but let's remember to encourage them as well. That's brother and sister Thomas Owens. Now, I don't know about this. I know it's Memorial Day, though, okay? And I know that people all over the country have been honoring our veterans. Is that right, or did I just totally miss that thing? Is that right? Okay. So, what we're going to do is, at this time, give all the veterans, those who served in any capacity in the military, to stand at this particular time. Will you stand at this time? Amen. We thank God for your service. We thank God for your sacrifice. Thank you for putting your lives on the line for us. And because of your efforts, we are able to live as comfortable and as safely as we have been able to. So thank you. And then we just want to, because our college students, they go in and out of town so much, you know, after they graduate and everything, and all of our graduates. So, and I don't know if we've done this, but if we have done this, we can't do it enough. Let's honor all of our graduates. And I don't care if it was even from kindergarten, okay? All right. So all the graduates in any capacity, amen, even if you were on the 35-year degree program, if you just got your degree from Chapman University, whoever you might be, why don't you stand at this time? All of the graduates, period. Amen. Yes. We thank God for you. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you so much. And then, let's just honor all the students that are back home from college. You haven't graduated, but you're just back home. And we want to do this now because we know that, you know, you're in town one day and can be back out of town the next week. So all of the students that are home from college, will you stand? Amen. All right. Appreciate you guys. Keep up the good work. Amen. And so we really appreciate just seeing everyone. And to our visitors, I think we have expressed how that we love you. We do have, if you are visiting with us for the first time, at the end of the services, after we do our prayers for those who requested prayer, we're going to usher you over to the hospitality room where you will receive a gift, a small token of our love and appreciation to you. And we certainly thank you for all that you've done in making this place the place that you decided to come on this morning. Now, let's go to the Word of God. Now, God, in His infinite wisdom, has directed me a totally different way from those scriptures that I shared with you or had them read this morning. We are studying on Sunday morning in the adult class from Ephesians chapter 3 and talking about the exceeding and abundant power that God gives believers, and I'm not going to talk about that this morning, though I invite you to come on Sunday morning and allow us to I like discussions. I'm learning that the discussion, having discussions and interaction with the class, is more effective because I get a chance to hear what you, many of you have been walking on the battlefield longer than I am alive. Do you hear what I'm talking about? And so we can benefit from one another's experiences in our walk with God. But from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, Nehemiah, Sister Smith, we're praying for you. We know that you've been ministering to Sister Gwen Jones and her family, and I made mention of that. And so we certainly appreciate you, and we'll find out what we can do to help as well. From the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, this is going to be a lesson that will benefit us all, I believe. Chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. And Bible says in verses 17 through 20, Nehemiah chapter 2, "Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are buried with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I am told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build, then work. Then they set their hands to do this good work." Verse 19 says, "But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and dismissed us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them that the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore his servants will rise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Let us rise up and build." Nehemiah was motivated. Nehemiah was inspired. The urgency is because the survivors who were left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. The news knocked him down. Have you ever had some news like that? That have you ever had a phone call where the people on the other end said, are you sitting down? Because what I'm fitting to tell you is mighty weighty. It's very weighty. It caused weakness in his knees and weeping in his eyes. Nehemiah mourned with a woeful heart for numerous days, but in his misery, Nehemiah turned to the Lord God of heaven. Amen. Yeah. I can just stop there and preach, right?
That's right.
In your misery, in your weeping, in your struggle, in your distress, in your situation, just remember that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Yeah.
Remember to look towards the hill in the midst of the struggle, and look towards the hill from whence cometh your help. You might be weeping, but like Nehemiah, remember the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. Nehemiah sought the source of all blessings. In his anguish, Nehemiah turned to the great and awesome God who looked to the Lord, who keeps covenant and mercy with those who love and obey him.
Yeah.
Nehemiah turns to the omnipotent difference maker with fasting and with prayer. Don't make the mistake of thinking that Nehemiah is primarily interested in walls and gates. Nehemiah is concerned about survivors in the great stress, distress, and reproach that they were going through.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Uh-huh.
Nehemiah wasn't as concerned about building the walls as he was about building the lives that were housed within the walls.
Yeah.
Come on. Amen. Y'all don't understand that, do you?
Yeah.
Listen to that. God has always been concerned about people
yes,
more than he's been concerned about places and things. In order to build, you have to build from the inside out. Yeah. Amen, walls and electric lights. I know that you can understand that because many of you watch HDTV, amen. And they can take an old building, right? A shack. And they can make it into a palace. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Building it from the inside out. I saw that happen over at St. Louis University. Because I work closely with the design and construction guys. They took an old, dilapidated church, and they transformed it into a functional, efficient, modern, smart classroom building that people pay them to use now. And at one time,
it was abandoned. Amen.
It's good to have Brother Duda up here on the front row. You get stuck on that last word, he can catch it for you. Amen. Thank God for small things. Yeah, building. Yes. A survivor. So God and Nehemiah were concerned about the survivors who were in great distress and great reproach. And they were not so much concerned about the wall as the people that were housed inside those walls. It's about rebuilding survivors. Are there any survivors in here today? Amen. All of us are survivors. Just raise your hand. Amen. Yeah, you might as well tighten up your halo and, you know what I'm saying, loosen up your sports jacket because you ain't always looked as good as you look.
Yeah.
In God's sight or in man's sight. It's God that gives you, you know what I'm saying? You ain't always did the things that you were supposed to do. But regardless to what happened to you, by the grace of God, you've been able to survive.
Yeah. Amen.
So survivors are those that are in great distress and reproach. A survivor is a person who has been through a catastrophic event or episode where others didn't make it, but somehow, by the grace of God, they survived. A survivor is a person who beat the odds. The odds said you wouldn't make it, but because you were a survivor and by the grace of God, somehow you pull through.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? That's a survivor. And so all of us in one fashion or form or fashion or one thing or another can relate to. The project was not about necessarily the building, but it was about fortifying the fallen. It was about reconstructing the crushed. It was about removing the reproach. It was about defeating the distress. It was about rebuilding the walls and repairing the gates. We're aimed to renew and restore Israel's relationship with God.
Amen.
They were not building the monument, but they were rebuilding the walls because the walls could be used in ministry. Amen. It does me good. Let me tell you something. You know what's going on in our world with these young people, right?
Right.
It's good to see some of them here working,
amen,
present, amen, finished college and going to school. I challenge you to come on Wednesday nights. Amen. And see within these walls on the other side, full of young people getting academic and spiritual nourishment between these walls.
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Glory be to God. You ought to say amen.
Amen.
And so on Wednesdays, from about 6 to 8, they have the tutoring program offering spiritual guidance and academic help for our young people.
Amen.
Within these walls.
Yeah.
That's good news, isn't it?
It is.
Lord, these kids are faced with so much. They need more than just an academic education. Am I right about it? They need a spiritual, moral value education as well, don't they? Hey, anytime the world is trying to press on you this transgender thing and make our babies believe that, you know, it's just how you feel about your situation. God created man and woman. Am I right about it? Guess what? And if we don't teach them what the Word of God says about gender separation, they'll believe whatever the world believes. And I never thought that in my lifetime that I would ever see the government try to impose on us that men can shower with women in the shower rooms at schools, and that men and women can go to any bathroom that they feel like just because they feel like it. Did you ever think that? Did you wait a minute now? Is it just me? I never thought that. Did you?
All right, no.
Amen. Never thought it. But you know what we got to do? That's what we got to teach our young people. And we have to stand up.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
It don't sit in just singing these songs of Zion. We got to get outside these walls and attend the PTA meeting.
That's right.
We got to get on our computer and get off of Facebook, and we got to type some letters.
Amen.
Let me get this microphone. I want you to hear this. We need to type some letters to some of our senators and our representatives and to our president and tell them what God's will is, and be willing to stand up at the polling places and stand for your values. And it's not just living right, but you got to stand in this world.
Right.
And guess what?
That's right.
You got to teach your young people.
That's right. Yeah.
Just because the government says it doesn't mean it's right. You find out what the will of God says, and you stand on that, and God will bless you. Our children are in distress.
Amen.
Do you know that in the last 3 years, we've had more baptism of children and young people and high school people than any other social demographic at this church?
Right.
Did you know that? You know why? Jesus said, because of the mouth of babes, they see what's going on in this world. Amen. They catching the Metrolink where people are getting robbed and shot going to schools. They're having to deal with the idea that, you know, next semester a boy might be in the shower room with us. Am I right about it? They deal with the predatory acts of some school teachers, and thank God we got some good school teachers here. They deal with that. That's their reality. Bullying, folk getting jumped on in the bus riding to school, that's their reality. And they look around and say, don't look like mama can help me. Don't look like daddy can help me. I better turn to God. I'm so glad these kids, let's give them a round of applause. They get up almost every Sunday and request prayer. And I thank God for you good and righteous mothers and fathers and school teachers and people that take up time with our children. The PIC, the Sisters from Sisters. You know what I'm saying? And those of you who are serving and just taking up time with kids, let me tell you something. That's a beautiful thing. That's the will of God. Am I right about it? Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? God has blessed us, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been blessed with great jobs. Huh? Thank God. Somebody say thank God.
Amen.
Jobs with some benefits, with a retirement program. Am I right about it? Yeah. Decent paying working salary, right? Some of y'all got two jobs. Amen. Yes, Lord. You know what? And so God has prospered us. You know what? Among us are some children that some of you can adopt.
Amen.
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 I'm just telling you the truth. Ask Kenji Berry.
Kendrick say, Brother Prowl, I wish you hadn't have brought this. So this Youth Sunday, so I'm going to hit on this. One of the things that stabilized my life as a Christian, I came into church when I was 18, and I was buck wild. Amen. It's a difference between being wild and buck wild. Amen. That Bible said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. But I just couldn't quite get all the way out there like I wanted to, because my mom and them had raised me right. Oh, Lord. Amen. Yeah. I wanted to be that brother that just didn't have no conscience. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. God said, no, nah, partner, you go preach. Lord, amen. Boy, I did some bad things to some preachers before, you know. And I said, Lord, please. I'm just expecting one day we're going to be knocking doors and the same thing going to happen to me. That's all right. I'm going to have to just carry my cross, right? Amen. Let me tell you something. Had it not been the stabilizing force of the youth program, I wouldn't be here right now. Help me in my life. Buck wild. Amen. Tamed me by the word of God and spiritual association. Amen. I'm so glad to see these kids come out on Wednesday night. You know what? That used to be the tradition when I first became a member of the church, that people saw the value. You know what I'm saying? They weren't even organized with how organized everything was. They just knew, I need to get them around some good people. We more organized than we ever been. We Fortune 500 organized now, and sometimes it's hard to get anybody to come out here because we don't see the value sometimes of coming together. But back in the day, we said, you know, I don't know. I can't do all this by myself. I'm going to bring them kids out there and let them associate with some good folk. Tell the truth and shame the devil.
Amen.
Amen. So what you need to do, and I know that many of you are doing it. Yeah. If your kids don't come, get your grandkids. Tell the truth. Amen. We got an epidemic. It's a phenomenon now that people have to raise their grandchildren. Amen. I told Mary, I said, I guess we're going to have to start saving up some money because it's a good chance. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen. Amen. Walls and electric lights. Amen. Till for to go over to Korea. I don't know what he gonna come back with. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. I'm praying for it. And don't tell him. Amen. Might come back to be a grandbaby. You know. So you gotta take care of him. Amen. Shoot. Yeah, I'd like to go to the steakhouse, but we have to go to Steak and Shake. Amen. You know, try to save some money. You know what I'm saying? Because you just don't know, do you? Amen. I don't know how I got over here. It was the Lord. Amen. Let me see what time it is. Amen. 11:15. Okay. Let me go ahead and... Amen. That was a good roll, so I don't even. Holy Spirit roll. Our kids are facing something. And we need to build up the church. We need to build them up. Build the church up. Continue volunteering your time. Continue volunteering your treasures. Continue volunteering your talent to help the young people, and it reverberates not only to the young, but also the what? Amen. Let me help you with this. Don't you know they gotta take care of us? I don't care how strong you are now, how smart you are, how much property you have, how many degrees you got. The very young people that we are trying to help now are going to be the ones that have to take care of us. Let me give you a personal example. For example, Friday was a challenging week last week. I had to go to the assisted living home where my brother is, my next to the oldest brother, Harrison. And
And he, you know, this guy was a sergeant in the military. And not just a sergeant, a master sergeant. And he supervised guys that worked on these jet engines and sent them up into the sky. Amen. Traveled all over the Asian theater. Amen. Yeah, yeah. And guess what? He's slowing down. They say, Mr. Proud, this is a guy that I used to be glad when he came home on his monthly or yearly furloughs for about a month. Amen. Because when I was able to remember, he was gone into the Air Force. Looked up to him, still do. But guess who has to help make decisions about his health and welfare now? Guess who they call? Do you hear what I'm saying? When something goes wrong or he needs something, guess who they call? And I'm saying this, church, what's that word for continuation? We got some teachers in here. What's that word? Huh? Continue? Huh? What's that word? Huh? Depression? Secession. Okay, what did you say? Continuum, right? The continuum of the church. The secession of the church. What's that other word? Start with a P. The perpetuation of the church. It's good to surround yourself with smart people. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The perpetuation of the church depends on what we invest in these young people now as to whether when we're in a nursing home somewhere or in the bosom of Abraham being with the Lord, whether this church is here now. Because of what we invest. Give of your time. Give of your treasure. Give of your time. They finna go to the youth conference. You know some of these kids, they don't have money to go. Amen. $100-something. Now, they're going to do a car wash like we did, but the church got behind us when I was in the youth group and made sure we all went. Guess what? You can sponsor a child to go to the youth conference. Amen. And guess what? You can use your influence with your kids to encourage them to go. Amen. Yeah, yeah. You can use your influence. I'm just talking to you now. Amen. You make them do everything else. You going to basketball camp. Now, I ain't talking about you now, sis. Amen. I'm just Tiffany, you know what I'm saying? You're going to play Little League football. I don't want to play Little League. That's what Mary told Tim. You're going to play Little League football, a baseball. And poor Tim be up there shaking, knees wobbling. And they made it to the championship game. I don't know how they did it, but they made it. They was the bad news bears, but they made it to the championship game. Tim ain't swung at a pitch all year. Standing up there. And you know, it's good. You got to encourage kids. Amen. So it was this one parent used to encourage kids. He said, Tim, a walk is as good as a hit. Amen. He knew Tim wasn't going to squint at that. And Tim, just don't fall out at the plate. Go on and stand up there. Because a walk is as good as a hit. Sometimes our kids are not measuring up, but we need to say to them, a walk is not good as a hit. It's just as good as a hit. Just stay in the game. Try to get on base. We'd like for you to hit a home run, but if they walk into first base, and I promise I'm not making this up. Matthew Dickies over in St. Louis. There's some bad kids over there in St. Louis. There's some bad kids. I ain't lying. They met us out in South County at the Bluffs. Yeah, out there at the Bluffs, we playing Matthew Dickies. We playing Matthew Dickies for the championship. And they was so bad. They even had little rhyming taunts. you know, to discourage your team. Ain't that the way the devil is? Yeah. And so Tim that was losing, and the endings were getting late. Tim up there, and I'm saying to myself, now this is what I'm saying, Tim ain't here. Nah, I ain't gonna tell it. I'm saying, you know. But Mr. Frank said, Tim, a walk is as good as a hit. Just stand up there, Tim. And sure enough, they walked Tim. Do you hear me? After they walked Tim, this one very talented kid, Mr. Frank's son, Mr. Frank had a big old stocky son. He could hit. Tim, they had two outs. Tim stood up there, got on base, still got two outs. Mr. Frank's son come up there, knocked the ball over the fence. Do you hear me? Knocked him and Tim in. All right. Yeah. And then we had a little talented pitcher. Boy, that boy could pitch, man. Man, he was good, man. He was just, you ever been around kids that just were graced athletically? I mean, you know, man, he got up, got on base. And what happened was it started a rally. Do you hear what I'm talking about? Through the least expected kid. Do you hear what I'm talking about? Matthew Dickey was quiet like the Oklahoma City fans were last night. That was a crying shame, wasn't it? Amen. When they win it, everybody all loud and happy. Matthew Dickey's got quiet. The momentum shifted to us. We ended up winning the championship game. I'm telling you the truth. And I've learned from that, you just encourage a child. Just a little bit of encouragement goes a long way. Am I right about it? Yeah. And that's what happened. We need to encourage our children. I'm not going to stay up here all day. Just encourage them. If you can send somebody to the youth conference, see Brother Dan and Brother On. If you can encourage your kids, right? Like Mary said, Tim, you're going to be involved in something. Amen. And guess what? Not only did she say he was going to be involved, she was at every practice. And believe it or not only was she was at every practice, she was in the practice all animated. Clowning at the games. Amen. Some of y'all need to get involved with the youth group. Encourage your kids to go and get involved yourself. Am I right about it? And quit saying, well, you know, they just ain't quite got everything together. Is there any institution on this time side of life where they got everything together? God forbid if people didn't make mistakes. You know what? I can deal with a person making a mistake when they're trying to do something. Amen. Amen. The only people that don't make mistakes is people that ain't doing nothing. Anybody can criticize. Amen. You get involved with your kid then if they ain't doing it right, and help them do it right. That's probably what they need anyway. Amen. Don't be comparing us. We're an African-American church. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Don't be saying, well, I sent my kids up to Mount Nebo, and boy, the kids really enjoyed it. It ain't like Centerville. Let me tell you something. The demographics of Centerville is different. We in the hood. In case you didn't know, the Lord bless you to move out of the hood, and you act like you don't know how folk act in the hood. Shame on you. Moved up to that little area and parked in your little garage and hit the electric door and then went down. And how you doing, Officer Timpson? You know, and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. You grew up in the hood. Come in here and help the kid in the hood. And if your kids got out of the hood, help them to reach down and help folk in different demographic situations. I sold Sedini one paycheck away from going back in the hood.
Amen. Amen. I think I've said enough.
We got to rebuild these walls. We got to. This church has to be perpetuated. Amen. We want the church to be striving and strong even when we go. Am I right about it? If you're here today, maybe you want to rededicate your life. I'm telling you, working in the youth group is a good thing. I remember we went down to Florida. We'd been, Brother Cobb had been trying to teach Kenji the gospel. Amen. And Kenji would never obey. Yeah. But let me tell you, I don't know what happened in Florida. It stirred up something. Kenji had a dream in Florida. Amen. Talk about the devil was after him. And he woke us up talking about Timothy Club. Amen. Hold on. When he came back from Florida, he got his behind in that water and got baptized too. Amen. Tell me those some good things happened at the youth conference and for fellowship and saints getting together. Ran him plumb out of the world into the church. Am I right about it? He right here to tell you about it right now. Amen. So you need to come if you're not a child of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing that he lived among men, that he died on the cruel tree of the cross, and that he was buried in the watery graves of baptism. And then you believe that, repent of your sins, decide that you're going to turn away from the world and that you're going to walk with God. Then be willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes. Come to Jesus and go down into the watery graves of baptism. If you need to rededicate your life, this can be a brand new start for you. Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you did. Don't you know Jesus, in the lineage of Jesus, is a prostitute, Rebecca. And let me tell you something. She helped the 12 spies of Israel. And the Bible put it there not to discuss the validity or the rightness or the wrongness of prostitution, that God can use anybody. Care what you did, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if we can help you in any way, you might just need prayer. We ask you to come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.